Nehemiah chapter 1. Verse number 1, Nehemiah 1. I don't know what it is, Brother Ezekiel. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a cave. And I don't know if that has to do with what happened last night or if it's something in the PA system, okay? Look at verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chisleo, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So this report came, we've talked about that, to Nehemiah and how God's people were. Verse 3, and they said unto me, I want you to notice these two words, they said unto me, the remnant. Okay, the remnant is this group of people. It's God's people, okay? They said unto me, the remnant, or God's people, that are left of the captivity there, in the province, are in great affliction. Now, please look up here. Just get this. The report Nehemiah got was not so much, it was the rubble and it was the walls were down, but it was more the condition of the people. Okay? By the way, ministry's people work, not paperwork. Ministry is about people. It's not about buildings. It's about people. We want to notice that. He said, the remnant, that's the people. And he said, who's in great affliction? Well, the city. Well, no. He said, the people are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. So the emphasis was not on the wall. The wall broken down represented a lack of protection for the people. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. Who is he weeping for? The people. And mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech you thee, this is a prayer of his, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel. Here again, his prayer is not, hey, God, help us with the walls. It was for what the walls represented, the children of Israel, thy servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. By the way, he's confessing his own sins, his own family sins. Have sinned. We have dealt, verse 7, very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Of course, they've experienced that scattering. But, verse 9, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out under the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence. And, of course, God has done that more than once. And will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, verse 10. Now, these are thy servants. He's, again, Nehemiah's prayer is for the people. He cares for the people. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of the servants whom desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, help us to really understand here in this portion of Scripture the care of this man for such a large group of people. And help us to not only learn, but to apply it in our own lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Please look over to chapter 2. Why don't we skip down? Look at verse number 10. Nehemiah heads over to check things out for himself. And some of the enemies of God are there. But I want you to notice that the enemies of God, what they detected or perceived when Nehemiah came into the city. These are the enemies. Okay? Verse 10, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, what? Nehemiah came in. It grieved them exceedingly that there was a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So somehow they understood that Nehemiah was coming in, and it was not, again, it was a huge task to build this wall, But Nehemiah's first prayer was for God's people. And the enemies even detected, you know what? These guys are coming in, it says right there, to seek the welfare, the betterment of the children of Israel. Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. By the way, caring is compassion in action. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4 said, for I could wish myself were accursed or anathema from Christ for my brethren. He's talking about the Jews there. My kinsmen according to the flesh. By the way, we ought to love God and love everybody, but there's nothing wrong with Brother Charlie, who's Cambodian, to have a special love for his people. Brother Pichardo is the Philippine. He's a Filipino man. He's from the Philippines. There's nothing wrong. He should love everybody, and he should love God, and he should help everybody, but there's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, we see it in the Bible to care for your own people. For I could wish myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Paul cared so much for the Jews that he said he would exchange his salvation for their salvation. He cared for the people. By the way, our Baptist forefathers in years gone by, a couple hundred years ago, because they loved the people and they also loved the next generation and they loved what the Bible talks about, soul liberty or freedom, a free will, that these men gave up their own freedom and went to prison so that we can have religious freedom. I've mentioned before, 45 Baptist preachers in Virginia were put into prison for preaching, and really what they're preaching was, of course, they preached the gospel, they saw many people saved, but they were trying to spread religious freedom that they did not have at that time. The historian, by the way, we have a picture in the foyer over there in the chapel, and it's a picture of Obadiah Holmes, and he was a Baptist Christian who was being beaten for just having not being a part of the state religion, and he's beaten in public, and it was really something that sparked much of our religion. I don't know if you know this, and I don't want to be mean on the pilgrims and all of it, but what many of the Christians brought over from Europe was just the state church, and it wasn't really freedom of religion. They wanted their religion to be free over here, but they didn't want freedom. And the first free state was the Rhode Island, and that's where the first Jewish synagogue was. It was for the, and by the way, it's a Baptist church, the first Baptist church, first Jewish synagogue, the first Catholic church. By the way, I'm not saying these are all right, but we believe in freedom of religion because we believe the Bible says we're supposed to choose God and not have someone else choose God for us. But these Baptists, they loved God, but they loved the people that they were willing to sacrifice. A historian, George Washington Pascal, said it was the pulpits of the Baptist churches that really sparked real desire in America for true religious freedom. They cared enough to pay the price of persecution in prison for religious freedom because they cared for the people. I don't know if I read the article. I mentioned, I don't know, a couple years ago, there was a man, he was an African man. I can't remember what African country, but he came here to America, and he succeeded. He bought him a house in Orange County, but he promised the people in his village, he said, I'm going to come back here and build you a school. I don't even know if he was Christian. I don't remember all the details. And so he did everything he could to come back here and try to raise money to build a school in his village where he came from. And he succeeded here. But he didn't succeed in raising money. His money didn't come in. And he said, I'm going to keep my word to the people. And what he ended up doing is selling his house, sent the money back to Africa to build the school building because he cared for the people. Caring makes a difference. I spoke with Michael. Michael told me that he's a missionary of the Jewish people. He said, you know, Pastor, when I first started working with the Jewish people, he said, he didn't say it like this, but he said, I didn't have as much care for them as I have now. But he said, now I really have a passion to reach the people. By the way, maybe that's what God's putting that passion in his heart. I think in the last couple of months, he's had four or five Jewish people saved come to Christ. That's exciting. We have a new man, Brother Pak. Raise your hand, Brother Pak, right there. He's him and his wife, a Korean couple. Brother Ross and I, we went out to lunch one day, and I don't know him well, but it seems like a real godly man, a real student of the Bible. And I just, by the way, when you meet new people, don't interrogate them. What's your name? How old are you? Can I see your wallet? Okay. But get to know people. And I try to in a very comfortable way just to get to know where their heart is. And I found out, man, they're Christians, just student of the Bible. And he has a real heart for understanding that to have the right Bible too. Amen. And he told me how that he has a heart for his own people. And he said many of the Korean people in America are religious but lost. He said something like this. It's probably not word for word, but something. He said, I'll ask them if they're born again, and they don't like me to ask that. By the way, thank God if someone asks you if you're born again. It's not religion that's going to bring you salvation. It's the finished work of Christ. You're putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not going to church, not reading your Bible, not behaving yourself, though Christians ought to behave ourselves. He has a heart for his people. By the way, I love to see that. And I don't know, maybe God sent Brother Pak and his wife here so that we can work together and see Korean people saved. I don't know, we're going to start the new church in Northwest Orange County. There's a lot of Korean people over there that need Jesus, caring for people. And God, in years gone by, put it in my heart. And by the way, it's always a work of grace. Let's not act like we're very good Christians, because as soon as you start acting like you're a good Christian, you know what God does? He pulls the carpet out from under you to keep you humble. Humble yourself so God doesn't have to humble you, you know? And by the way, God does a lot better job of humbling us. But he put it in my heart to reach international communities. You know, whether it's Brother Robert, who's a Hispanic, that the only Spanish words he knows is taco and enchilada. Okay, or is this El Salvadoran Cuban that has a Cambodian wife who thinks he's a white guy? Or Charlie, who's married to a Filipina? Or Brother Ray, the only thing he eats is Filipino food? Or Chanty on the front row, who's pure Cambodian? Or Cody, who's white and something else, married to a Mexican lady? You say, what is that? By the way, that's our community. We can't overlook that. Say, why do you think God put it in your heart to, and by the way, we even reach minorities. That's the white people around here. We got one right there. We got white people in our church. Chuck Castle, man, he's white. He's marshmallow. White on the outside and white on the inside. He's a coconut. He's brown on the outside and white on the inside. Some people are bananas. They're yellow on the outside and white on the inside. And then some people are eggs. They're white on the outside and yellow on the inside. We got them all. Behave yourself or you're going to the nursery. We do have special ed people in our church, too. We love everybody. But God put that in my heart. Okay? And by the way, maybe that's why we started a church in Monterey Park, the largest Chinese community in America. And by the way, international communities, and I throw this out there every once in a while, to me, and maybe I'm wrong, they're the ripest communities in America. And one of the least, you know what everyone's doing? And I'll close on this. No, you know what everyone's doing? They're leaving the cities. Oh, too much sin in the city. Well, that's why we need to bring the gospel. Don't run. I'm going to go out to where nobody is. What, so you can witness to the locust? Huh? Well, you know, I saw a couple of people moving trailers way out. Listen, they've already been witnessed to. Okay, we need to get the gospel to the city, these large cities where there's people, and there's a lot of different nationalities. But the point is, God put that in my heart to care for these people. Let me share a few thoughts. Here again, you say, what's Nehemiah? What's this all that he did? What, I mean, he left and he got permission and he had a real prestigious job. I mean, listen, when you're working in the king's palace, you know, and you're close to the king. I mean, let me ask you a question. How many of you ever here had a conversation with any of our presidents for more than 5 minutes? Anybody? I didn't think so. Okay, now if I said how many have had a conversation, you know, with the local jailer, you know, I'm like, okay. Yeah, thanks, John. A few thoughts about Nehemiah and his caring. And how are we going to apply it to our lives? If you want to build a family, your family needs to know that you care. It's good to care for the lost people down the street. But the Bible says if you don't care for your own, you're worse than an infidel. Care for your family. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, the last verse in the Old Testament, and it's a prophecy of John the Baptist, and he shall turn the hearts of their fathers to the children. Now, Dad, let me say this. It doesn't say the mothers. It says the fathers. You say, why? Because the mothers' hearts are already there. Yeah. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Hey, dads, we need to care for our children. You say, what happens when you care? When you care for them, guess what? They care for you. The hearts of the fathers. By the way, and this is just a little commercial here. Throughout the summer, dads say, well, why not the mom? Mom, you're already listening. Okay, dads are, we're not very good Christians, is what I'm trying to say. Throughout the summer, on Thursday nights and Sunday nights, we call it family nights, family emphasis. So, oh, not that again, I'm not married. Well, what if somehow a miracle takes place? And you do get married. Well, I'm not married, and I don't think anyone ever marry you. Miracles do happen. Okay? Why? I don't like children. Well, you need to get right with the Lord. You gotta love children. Okay? Well, I'm too old. You know? No, don't say that. And maybe you might not ever get married. Okay? But how about if you can learn how to help somebody else? We'll be teaching on fathers. Fathers, how, by the way, one thing I'm going to do, and the Bible is always the foundation and the basis of what we teach and preach, but here's one thing I'm going to do. I have some of it written down. I don't have the whole list. I am going to contact as many of the godly men that I know that have adult children that are serving the Lord, And I'm going to ask him, give me the biblical principles that you've used in this generation. By the way, every generation has its battles to fight. And one thing we got to do is build up walls to protect our children. And I'm going to ask them that, and I'm going to bring it to our church, all Bible-based. You know, if they said, well, you know, Freud, we're not Freuding it here. Okay? But if it's scripturally based, I want to hear what they say. Because I know some wonderful Christians, their children are not serving the Lord. And it's not because they didn't want their children to serve the Lord. It's because they missed something. So if you want to build a family, you need to care. Number two, if you want to build a ministry for God, you must truly care for the people. Okay? By the way, we have Sunday school teachers. That's the caring arm of our church. It's not just the teaching. It's the caring. That's when your church grows, you have to have a method, if you would, to care. And these adult Sunday school teachers, some classes are small, some are a little bigger. You say, what? They're caring. Yesterday, I was at Walmart walking in the religious section. Okay? You said, religious section in Walmart? Well, they call it something different. Okay? It's called fishing. That's where I was. I had a couple of my children with me. We were in the religious section. And we were looking for spiritual hooks. We couldn't find any, so we got some physical hooks. And So I had my three youngest with me. That was nice. They're all well behaved most of the time. But I saw John, and John was there, and Mario. See Mario back. Wake up, Mario. There you go. Okay, good. Mario, and you know, John is Mario's teacher. And by the way, we call them shepherds. I don't know what they were doing together. They were together, and you know what John was doing? He was caring for one of his sheep. And to build a ministry for God, you have to care. There's got to be care there. By the way, the new building out there, it's a tool. Just like Nehemiah, he went to build the wall, and it was a task, and it needed prayer and organization and persistence, and they needed teamwork. But really, the whole purpose was for the people. That new building over there, we're going to have a gym. You say, what is this for? It's not just a show off. We have a gym. It's for the people. Brother Ray in the Filipino ministry had a couple weeks ago, they rented a gym, and they had an activity. Not here. We don't have a gym. We're not going to rent it out. It was for his people. It's for the fellowship, and that's the new bookstore. Say, what is it? So we can have a bookstore so we can compete with, is Border still around, or they go bankrupt? Everybody does books online now, I guess. But we'll have a bookstore, and you say, why? Because leaders and leaders are readers, okay? And we want to encourage you to read. And by the way, we also want to make sure that you're not picking, oh, bookstore, Christian bookstore. Oh, I get that. No, some Christian bookstores are polluting Christians. We want to have a bookstore like Safe Area. You know, this is Safe Area. You don't have to have on your spiritual hard hats, if you know what I mean. But that's what it's for. In the many new classrooms, it's for people. It's what it's all about. And let me say lastly, truly caring will help you to stay put when the going gets tough. You say, Pastor, what do people want to do when the going gets tough? Run. Run. You say, where are we running? Anywhere but here. Every summer, you know what people do? They go on vacation. And they just came off a hard time. They go on vacation, and they go to their mother-in-law's house. Or go to their grandpa's house. You know what they say? It's nice over here. Back where I came from, it's bad. By the way, it's bad over there, too. Okay? Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Truly caring will help you stay put when the going gets tough. Nehemiah chapter 4. Look, these guys, and I'll mention a little bit more of this. These guys, man, they had a trowel in one hand and they had a sword in another hand. Okay? By the way, if you're looking for the perfect life, you're just going to have to watch a movie. It ain't out there. There's no, and by the way, quit watching the movies, because that's what's making you have a wrong perception of life. Okay, that's not That's a bunch of people. There's some people, they're in fantasy land. I'm like, what was that word? What was that sermon I preached? What was that word I used? Psychosis. They're psychotic. This is not real. You say, what's the real life? It's rough. By the way, kindergarten's rough. I'll never forget, I went to kindergarten, and I went to Catholic school. Okay? I went to Catholic school. Okay? And I'll never forget, kindergarten, I saw the nun. I'm not kidding. I screamed. My dad dropped me off at kindergarten. I almost pulled his pants. I said, I ain't going. I'm not going. Kindergarten was rough. I remember we moved. I went to, we moved to La Mirada from Downey. And my first day of school, Gary Sumi and Blake Miller, they got me down on the ground and they pinned me and they went like this. With their thumb right there. Welcome to the school. He said, Pastor, has it gotten easier? Hadn't gotten easier for me and hadn't gotten easier for you. I had my first baby. My wife did most of the work. That baby cried, sick. Listen, I said, this is bad. Who made these things? I was taught child-centered parenting, primitive parenting. Pick them up every time they pout. Put a bottle in their mouth. Give them an Oreo, anything. We spoiled the little guy, and listen, he killed us. Listen, we learned after the third one, you don't do that. That's why my son Joseph's the way he is. But here's Nehemiah. By the way, don't, another thing is this. Oh, listen, God must not be blessing you because there's a problem. It might be that God is blessing you. That's why you got a problem. Nehemiah had was four problems. And as soon as they started really building and started actually getting going, that's when the problem started. I was talking to Dr. Hawking at the dinner series, and he's telling me, was it when you first went to Cameroon or about all the problems you had when you first went there? You told me a story. Was it the Catholic group? They're going to kill him. What a welcoming committee to the country. You think, wonderful missionary. Listen, they're about to kill him. He probably hadn't even rented a house yet. But here in Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll look at, look at verse number 3. Now Tobiah an Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. By the way, this is psychological warfare. They begin to scare you. Remember Saddam Hussein? Okay, he's in his eternal reward right now. Remember the psychological warfare that he's talking about. He'd paint a picture, you know, of all the body bags that are in, but some of them did. But this is a little psychological warfare. Verse 4, here, and then Nehemiah goes on to pray, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the hand of captivity, in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity. And he wasn't really a big soul winner right now. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. And he's talking about these guys that were messing around and giving him a hard time. Look at verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Man, they got people mad at them. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You'd think they're doing something for God. Man, the whole city would come out and have a parade for them. No. Verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer unto God. And so Nehemiah's like, hey, we're still praying, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. In other words, these guys are getting worn out. And there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. They said, no, we can't do this. By the way, they could do it, but that was just their imaginations, their emotions. I mean, they're worn out. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know. Now they're quoting their adversary. By the way, don't let your enemies or the people that don't like you be your leaders. Well, so-and-so said this. Well, so-and-so does not have God nor your best interest in mind. I told prayer meeting last night, I said, guys, and I've never said this, but I said, there's a man in our church, and he's a good guy, and he's a smart guy. And I said, he did everything he could to try to talk us. He said, we will never be able to get city approval to build our building. Never. And he told me all the reasons why. He said, don't do this. And by the way, then he gave me a plan. By the way, I almost bought into his plan. Okay? But I don't necessarily think he had the best interest of everybody in mind. Maybe he had something else. And our adversaries, verse 11, by the way, I'm glad God did get building permission first to build a building. Okay? And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now, man, more psychological warfare. And it came to pass, verse 12, that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. Okay? This was not just a one-time problem. From all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon us. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, in the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. You say, hey, what happened to the trowels and the hammers? No, it's swords, spears, and bows. Okay, those were not bow ties. Okay, that wasn't the sword, the Bible. Okay, and those weren't little spears you put in your Coca-Cola. These were real spears. They needed now protection. Verse 14, and I looked, but look, here's just a minute. Right now, it's like the people are getting worn out. Look, when you start serving God, you just might as well plan on having the world, the flesh, and the devil wear on you. You know what the leader says? Hang in there, guys. And that's what Nehemiah is about to do. Look at verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, some of the leaders, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. He said, guys, fear not. Then he says, I like these three words, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. When you're weary, you forget the Lord sometimes. You don't become an atheist, but you're so tired and you can't think past like 10 minutes and there's clouds on you. And Nehemiah says, listen, don't fear. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. I'm glad we have a great and terrible God. Then he said, now your responsibility, look what he says, and fight. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives and fight for your houses. Man, they wanted to run. They wanted to take off. They wanted to just give it up. Can I confess a sin? How many would like to hear a sin of mine? Okay, good. Look up here. You can close your Bibles. I'm done. Here's my sin. I'm not a real good Christian, no amens. But one thing God has put in my heart is to have a people prepared for the Lord. God's put in my heart, I'd rather pastor 100 people that love God and that are holy and pure than 1,000 that are just filled with the world. I couldn't do it, man. I'd just go home and I'd go fishing. I just wouldn't do it. By the way, we could. All we need to do, listen, we've got former rock band people in here. Listen, we get a couple of our guys have a rock band in here. We won't need to have any more dinner series. We'll have so many people, all they have to do is give a quarter and it'll pay for that building. We have so many people. I know how to get a crowd. Bring in a rock band. Free. Rock concert for free. Don't look at me like that. When we were younger, we had to pay, back at Anaheim Stadium, you have to pay 20, in 1974, you'd have to pay $30 for a ticket to go see Pink Floyd at the Anaheim Stadium. Come on, guys, quit giving me that innocent look. I saw a few of you there when I was there. Now you just got to go to church and do it. You say, but different words. You couldn't understand Pink Floyd's words then, and you, a lot of the Christian, so-called Christian music, you can't understand the word. You come because of the beat. You come because it makes you feel good. Well, if it makes you feel good, does that mean it's good? No. Heroin makes you feel good for a while. But God has just put it in my heart, and it's something I think he just did years ago. I want to have a holy marriage. I want to have holy children, holy leaders. Yeah. Want to win people to Christ and teach them how to get close to God. Don't use God as a tool to do your own thing. Let's find out what God's thing is and write it for him. Really, that's something deep in my heart. And sometimes I just get like, forget it. Say, what do you want to do? I don't want to quit God. Look, pastoring in the city, let me just say this. Can I complain for a little bit? Pastoring the city is hard. I know a man, he's in heaven now. You know where he pastored? He was a missionary to the Amish people. You didn't have to worry about teaching on modesty in that church. You had to teach them to say, you know, girls, we can't see your face. Can we at least see your eyes? I can pastor over there. A friend of mine, remember Kevin Trout? He pastors in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. You say, where's Lancaster County? That's Amish country. You say, what do you have over it? Do you realize those Amish people, even though a lot of them aren't even saved, their conservative mindset, it literally affects the community. There's a lot of people that move there because they're like, I just like this over here. Kira Sleek, remember Kira Sleek? Kira, she sent me a letter, an invitation to her. Kira used to attend our church, and now she lives in, you know, southern Indiana, where the only people you see at night are the lightning bugs. And she sent, and I'm so, did you get the invitation? Such a nice, she said, and by the way, she listens to our sermons, and she listened to the one on the technology and said, your girls don't need cell phones and all. I'm like, yes. And then I sort of like, man, how come I can't pastor out there? Don't, I ain't leaving because this is where God called me. That's my sin. But let me say this. We're called to this area. Yes, sir. Do you know what this Southern California needs? A bunch of people that love God and care for people. Yeah. Not a bunch of people that'll run because they're like, man, I'm sick and tired of the traffic. I'm sick and tired of the sin. I'm sick and tired of people that don't want to hear it. I'm sick and tired of people want to live in the world and they want to say they're Christians and they live like unbelievers. I'm sick of it. I'm going to North Carolina. I'm moving to the Bible Belt. By the way, there's sin all over the place. It's all a mirage. You remember over there in Lancaster County where those people, and there's this, well, I want to go where it's not dangerous. It's dangerous everywhere. You say, where's the safest place? Safest place in the center of God's will. And still you might get martyred in the center of God's will. You know what cities need? They need the people in Lancaster County to become missionaries to the cities. We don't need to be moving out there, amen? Let's bow our heads for just a moment.